The foolishness of preaching and why billions remain in darkness. That is the message I have for you today, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, you did hear it correctly. Billions of people remain in darkness. I'm talking about lost souls, unsaved people throughout the entire world. So let's dig into the scriptures today. First scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. It says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." So that is the scriptures, ladies and gentlemen, written by the Jewish apostle Paul. The man was an unsaved man for quite a while, a very severe persecutor of Christians. He was on the road to hell, just like many of you are today as I speak to you. But then he got saved. And ladies and gentlemen, it's important that you know that this is God's choice. This is how people get saved. It says here, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe, okay? And you know, this is wisdom of God, folks. He didn't say, go have a Roman Catholic mass, get a priest, have him dress up in a religious costume and offer up a mass. No, he didn't say that. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Those who believe will be saved. Those who do not believe shall be damned. So this is what we're talking about. This is the wisdom of God, and it's speaking about the preaching of the cross. Christ crucified. He paid the price for our sins. And this is available to every man and woman throughout the world. It destroys the wisdom of man. The wisdom of man, ladies and gentlemen, goes out the window. The wisdom of man regarding a fake religion goes out the window. Man-made tradition goes out the window. It's the preaching of the cross. It is the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So God's wisdom, it makes man's wisdom foolishness. That's why, you know, when you hear atheists speaking out against the gospel, against belief in God, it's foolishness. That's foolishness, you see? And the gospel of Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. It says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." That's awesome. So, you know, Christ was put to death. You know, the people that were putting him to death, they had no idea who it was that was up there on the cross. This was God in the flesh. Hallelujah. And the wisdom of God, folks, is totally awesome. So those who were putting him to death, they thought they were doing a good thing. You know, the religious Jewish people, they didn't believe in Christ. They rejected him. They worked in concert with the leaders of the world. We have Herod, we have Pilate, and so on and so forth. They wanted him to be crucified. That's exactly what happened. But you see, the cross, ladies and gentlemen, is what benefits the believer. That's right. This is the wisdom of Almighty God. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So that's 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 12. So the eye has not seen nor ear heard. This is talking about heaven ultimately, ladies and gentlemen, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Do you love the Lord today? The believer loves the Lord. The believer has been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, you see? And the things that await the believer after this life are, we cannot even comprehend it, folks. The glory in heaven, we cannot even comprehend it, you see? So you will understand it when you get there. So this is how we understand things, ladies and gentlemen. We understand things. We know these things to be true. We have a hope in our heart because of the Spirit of God. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. I've said many times, you know, growing up as a Catholic, I was dead in my sins. I was never truly born again of the Spirit until many years later. When I was born again of the Spirit, then I knew the things that were freely given to me of God. I realized, oh my, I don't have to go to Mass and have a Roman Catholic priest offer up a sacrifice for me. I don't have to worry about going to purgatory. Holy days of obligation, praying to Mary, praying my rosary, receiving the Catholic Eucharist, and so on and so forth. I didn't need that because I understood the things that were freely given to me, and it's found in the Bible, folks. That's the good news. That's the beauty of the gospel, and we know these things by the Spirit of God, which has been given to us. And this is for you today, whoever you are out there. 1 Corinthians 2:13 and 14, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So it's foolishness to the unbeliever. I remember preaching in the subway once in South Jamaica. You know, a man got right in my face, right up to my nose. And he said to me, how could you be so brainwashed? I mean, he was angry, but because he's that's the natural man, folks. He cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. Here is a man, he was probably in his 50s, but he's on the road to hell. He doesn't know it. So he's lost. So when you preach the gospel to people, their minds are blinded. Oh, yes, they are. They cannot understand these things because they've never been truly saved, never truly born again of the Spirit. John 3, 6 and 8, it says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth or wishes, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. By the way, those words were spoken by Jesus Christ himself, the one who went to die on the cross. So he's letting us know, hey, you know, you have a physical birth. You were born in the flesh, but hey, you need to be born again of the Spirit. And without that, you're still dead in your sins. You will go through this life. Folks, hear me now. I don't care how rich you are. It matters nothing. You can have all the money in the world. You could eat at the best restaurants. You could send your kids to the best schools in the nation. Means nothing unless a man is born again. They cannot see the kingdom of God. You're still dead in your sins. And this is why you need a message like this to warn you, to tell you. That you must be born again, ladies and gentlemen. You see, Satan hates the truth of the gospel. He keeps your mind blinded, is what I want to say. Your mind is blinded by the father of lies. He's called the god of this world. Look at this, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." So Satan will keep you blinded. He doesn't care what you do. He wants you to have a good time. He wants you to go out and party, go get drunk, have a great time. He loves that because he knows your mind is blinded. He knows you're on the road to destruction, ladies and gentlemen. And he hates what I'm doing here today. Look at this in John chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. We get more light on this. This is Jesus speaking again. "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Look at that, might be saved. "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Whoa. Think about that now, folks. Christ spoke these words, and he said that God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, speaking of himself, but that the world through him, through Christ, might be saved. So you have the opportunity, no matter who you are. This could be the last time you ever hear the word of God, by the way, the gospel of Christ. So you have this opportunity that you can be saved through Christ. Okay, and if you believe on him, you believe him from the heart, you won't be condemned. But if you don't believe, you're condemned already. In other words, you're already condemned because you're still dead in your sins, because you haven't believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now watch this, verse 19, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world," so you have the opportunity, "and men love darkness rather than light," Jesus is the light of the world, "because the deeds were evil." So many people remain in darkness simply because they love the darkness where they are rather than the light and to get saved. Because the light exposes the darkness, the evil deeds. You see, people do evil deeds. Even in the world, you do things at night. You know, I've shared before, you know, many times people will try to break into a building. Why? To rob it. And they'll go through the air conditioning ducts or something. They'll go up to the roof and try to tear through the ducts and then climb inside and slide themselves through the ductwork until they reach where they want to get so they could rob. And sometimes those ducts, they narrow and the people don't realize it and they slide down and they can't get out. And sometimes they find people in there, some still alive, some dead already, because they couldn't get out, and they suffocate inside the ductwork. They were doing things that were evil. They were doing it in darkness. I mean, they're not going to do it during the day. I mean, say it was a cell phone store selling cell phones. He's not going to climb up on a roof and start wiggling his way down and jump into the store while people are there purchasing cell phones, right? Of course not. They do it in darkness because their deeds are evil. Here's a good verse to remember, folks. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11. It says, "Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil." Wow. You know, folks, many people, millions of people, misinterpret the grace and mercy of God for his approval upon their sinful life. Oh yes, I'll say it again. Many people misinterpret the grace and mercy of God for his approval upon their sinful life. You know, they commit evil deeds, and because nothing happens, they say, "Hey, I guess it ain't that bad. You know, God's not mad at me." So they continue walking in darkness. Okay? Their heart, it says, why? Because the justice, sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. So their heart just continue. It's fully set inside them to do evil. Oh, yes. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." So there's the answer there, folks. God is merciful. He's the Father of tender mercies. He's not willing that any should perish, but that they should come to repentance. Do you see that, folks? So instead of interpreting the darkness and saying, I'm getting away with it, no, you have to interpret it correctly, that God wants you to repent and believe the gospel, you see? So don't have your heart set to do evil when God is calling you to repentance. That's what it's talking about, folks. So God is merciful. He wants you to be saved. So let me close it here with Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So that's the only way out. That's the only way the sinner man or the sinner woman can be justified before a holy and righteous God. It's turning to him. You see? That's what it means. Turn to him. Repent and believe the gospel. Believe in the Lord. Believe in the one who died for you, you see, that you may be washed, okay? You could be justified by his blood. You can be saved from wrath through what Christ has done for you. So, you know, at the beginning, folks, I spoke about, you know, billions remain in darkness. You know, from the time I've been saved, I'm talking from the time I've been saved, I knew that billions of people were on the road to hell. And that has never left me. I believe that with every fiber of my being today. Anybody who walks through this world, you know that I'm telling you the truth. Very few are interested in Jesus Christ. Very few are interested in the truth of the gospel, folks. There are many religious systems. People will call themselves spiritual. Look at the Roman Catholic Church with close to a billion people, I say. That was a false gospel that the Lord Jesus Christ delivered me out of. So I know that group of people, they're lost. They have no idea, you see, what it means to be truly born again. They preach that you're born again when you're baptized as an infant. So they preach a different gospel. That's what the Lord saved me out of. Think of the people of Islam. Okay, they don't even believe that God has a son. My, oh my. Compared to that to what I'm preaching to you today. What about the people of Judaism? They don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. They don't believe he's God in the flesh. Absolutely not. It's a joke to them. So you can see why I say that, folks, because I knew the things that were freely given to me. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to leave it with you right there, folks, that you have the opportunity. You heard it once again, how to come to know the Lord. So don't forget the title of the message here, The Foolishness of Preaching and Why Billions Remain in Darkness. You be blessed and have a great day.